Paul to the Philippians shares this: have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. The NIV translation of this verse is, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is ironic, but a person could come to church every Sunday, including Palm Sunday and Easter, and not see the whole picture. The triumphal entry and the glorious resurrection give us a picture of Christ we all love to see, mounted, radiant, worshiped, victorious, arisen, and hailed as such. But if that is all we see, this glory, we miss our very salvation, his passion, the theology of the cross. Forgiveness and eternal life also look like the rest of Holy Week, and we can't forget that. Let me encourage you to take it in. A weakened and bloody man, his back shredded by the whip that was used to scourge him, humiliated by the plucking one by one of hairs from his beard, cheeks and eyes dripping with sweat and blood, and the spittle of those who grievously mocked him. So we see it both ways this morning. Hosannas raised, palms and garments strewn, receiving a triumphant procession, and then the way of sorrows and wailing. Then mockery put forth as nails were driven in order to hold our Lord's naked body on the accursed tree, where he would struggle against his weight and the timber to get air into his lungs. It is the culmination of his passion. And that is the other side of what we call in our church year, Holy Week, which begins today. So on this day, we begin our journey to the place of the skull, and there we behold God's great and abundant love for us personally and for all mankind specifically. He died for all, writes St. Paul, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. That too speaks of attitude. We see in Christ one who would forego his heavenly throne and assume an earthly one of rough-hewn timber. There, the weight of his body and the weight of our sin would cause him to suffocate, even as he had been beaten to within an inch of his life before he was ever nailed to the cross through his hands and through his feet. In holy baptism, you were grafted to this Jesus as the Father adopted you by grace and gifted you with faith. However, this is not a neat picture for the family album, is it? This is the part of our family's history that we would prefer to hide and make our way straight to Easter dinner and the Easter egg hunt for the children and our grandchildren. But let us not forget, there is this week called Holy, and we must make that journey, even as St. Paul would have us understand the very mind of Christ and assume his attitude as our own, if we have time. An attitude is something that we learn to have very early in life. If we are not happy with how things are going for us, we have learned how to flip on the switch of an attitude that reflects our unhappiness and our unwillingness to cooperate, our rebelliousness. We use it as leverage. We don't have to be children. We use it as leverage. And that is not consistent with the attitude that St. Paul puts forth in his letter to the Philippians. Actually, the epistle reading that serves as our text for this morning consists of a well-known hymn that served as a confession of faith in the person of Jesus Christ, which spoke of his two states, his state of humiliation and his state of exaltation. And so Paul puts this confessional hymn forward for the Philippians and tells them that they should have the mindset of Christ, who was God in the flesh, yet he did not consider himself equal, but instead made himself nothing for us and for our salvation. This one who is the great I Am, spoken in the Greek as ego I me, put aside the I, put aside the ego, and took the attitude of a servant for you and for me. Paul encourages us because he full well knows us, doesn't he? Because he knows himself. Our natural attitude or mindset is to want things our way. We will usually spare no expense to get them either, will we? By nature, we are self-centered. Luther said we're curved in on ourselves. We're out for number one, and we are that number, aren't we? It is the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. And we struggle with our own self-righteousness at the expense of others, rather than seeking to serve those whom we think are less than ourselves, though in the sight of God, we are all the same. This natural attitude that we possess does not fear, love, and trust in God above all things. It most certainly does not love our neighbor as we love ourselves. It is an attitude of arrogance, which presumes self-importance, that can destroy relationships within our families and amongst our friends. It can even lead to conflict within the church, and it naturally does not seek to do the things of God, but seeks to do our own thing in our own way so that we might have the things we want in our own time. That is living life with an attitude which is not the same as the attitude as that of Christ Jesus. Yet this coming week, if we allow the time of the church to speak to our egos, we will be given to see the attitude of Christ, who humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That is the attitude that found him riding humbly into Jerusalem in the first place, being hailed as David's son, the Messiah, but as David's son and David's Lord, his attitude was that of a servant. The servant spoken of in our Old Testament reading for this morning and amplified in the reading of the Passion according to St. Matthew. It is to such a mindset, an attitude, a way of being that St. Paul encouraged, even exhorted the Philippian Christians, and he does so for us as well. In our self-service culture, we need to know our inability to do what is required of us for our forgiveness. We need to fully understand that we can offer no righteousness of our own doing, even if our ego, our mindset, our attitude would inform us otherwise. Our suffering servant Jesus truly served all mankind through his suffering and death. He is the true servant, the one we see on Palm Sunday riding into Jerusalem in humbleness on a donkey's colt. He is the suffering servant who rides on to Golgotha, to death in obedience to his Father's will, according to redemption's plan. He is the risen servant who is here today to serve you with forgiveness and deliverance from death and the grave through the means of grace, so that we are no longer servants of ourselves or servants of sin, but transformed to be servants in his likeness, freed by him who came to serve and to give his life for us so that we might know what an attitude of a servant truly is. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And now may this peace of God, which transcends our human understanding, may it guard our hearts and guard our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We We confess the Nicene Creed. Please rise.